Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right. This is brutal, brutal, brutal for MAGA commentator Ben Shapiro, who has been rapidly losing his audience on YouTube and other platforms and is now being forced to defend some of his earlier predictions about Donald Trump's second term. He just went on the podcast of Sam Harris, and Sam Harris talked to Ben Shapiro roughly 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, right when Donald Trump was taking office, and almost everything that MAGA commentator Ben Shapiro predicted at the time has aged very poorly regarding tariffs, regarding all other things. And you're going to be seeing this more and more often. Top MAGA pundits and commentators who can no longer defend Trump in an effective manner, so just decide not to. They decide to jump ship, or they decide to act like they weren't even in favor of Trump in the first place. We will not let that happen. We will hold them accountable, and we will make sure they listen to their dumbass predictions from 2 years ago or so. I mean, Donald Trump's own son, Donald Trump Jr., was tweeting out, "We'll never start an Iran war. It'll be so nice to have a president who never, ever starts a war with Iran." And now we are so deep into an Iran war that we can all feel it on a day-to-day basis. We can all feel it. Before we even jump into this clip, I want to highlight this clip of CNBC anchor Jim Cramer stuttering for 15 seconds after he's confronted with Donald Trump's corruption. It is an absurd thing to see, because for 15 seconds, he stutters and stumbles in a pathetic manner when somebody brings up the fact that Donald Trump has been buying Intel stocks based on inside information he has. Yes, the president of the United States has profited $220 million just on trading companies that he has an incentive to, you know, buy due to insider information over the past year. It is despicable. And let me show you this clip. As always, make sure to drop a like. Make sure to subscribe to the Adam Mockler feed. It is thundering so bad in Chicago right now that my place is shaking, but it's kind of cozy in a way. So sit back and let's watch this clip of Jim Cramer on Squawk Box.
What's it, you know, the president, U.S. government got in, he could sell it. And
yes, that, and the according number to the filings, the president's been trading some intel in the quarter. Yeah.
Yeah,
You got nothing to say about it?
Well,
All right, don't worry. We're not having technical difficulties here, everybody, but we got to go.
Jim, we'll see you tonight. Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern.
I mean, the guy literally goes nonverbal when somebody brings up Trump's corruption. I wasn't even exaggerating. He goes nonverbal.
The U.S. government got in. He could sell it. And
yes,
give that,
and
the
according
number
to the filings, the president's been trading some intel in
yes.
the quarter. Yeah.
Yeah. He's trading.
Got nothing to say about
very very, very well said, Jim Cramer. Very, very well said. Going back to this video, this confrontation between Sam Harris and Ben Shapiro, I actually only watched the first few minutes of it, and I realized this is very golden content that I want to show you all. So let's watch it unfold and react to it together in real time.
You and I last spoke a little over a year ago, I guess a year and a half ago, before Trump's election, when our friend Barry Weiss had us debate, I think the week before the election. And a couple of things you said there have not aged particularly well. I just want to do a postmortem on that.
I figured you were going to start here, so sure, go for it, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is not a matter of I told you so, but I actually just want to I want to understand.
I mean,
how
it's a little
viewing
bit, but it's okay. Go for it. Well, you're entitled. Yeah, so I'll,
the truth
I'll
is, you. I knew I was right at the time, so there's very little satisfaction in being discovered to be right now. But I mean, two small things that can kind of give you some kind of landmarks for the conversation. One is that you thought Trump's claim that he was going to tariff people extravagantly was all bluster and we wouldn't see any of that. And needless to say, he's tariffed nearly every member of our species. And not just our species, we've tariffed islands
penguins.
That have just
yep.
penguins on them, apparently.
Ooh, you know, in fact, before we play the entire segment, I want to show you Ben Shapiro's prediction, or his analysis, rather. About a year ago, this was a debate done by Barry Weiss, oof, in October of 2024. Okay, so right before the election, a year and a half ago. Let's watch this moment where he talks about tariffs.
One of the things that Trump tends to do when it comes to trade agreements is talk about how he's going to completely rip up trade agreements and and he's going to tariff everything up to the sun. And he tends to use it as a weapon of leverage more than he does actually just tariff things randomly. So, for example, he said that he was going to completely tear up NAFTA and do a completely new trade deal. And it turns out that the completely new trade deal looked very much like NAFTA with some.
It turns out that Donald Trump does tariff things very, very randomly. Okay, now let's return to this, just showing how poorly it aged.
People extravagantly was all bluster and we wouldn't see any of that. And needless to say, he's tariffed nearly every member of our species, and not just our species. We've tariffed islands
penguins.
That have just
yep.
penguins on them, apparently. Also, you thought Mike Pompeo would be the Secretary of State, and rather than that, he was properly defenestrated, and I think even his security detail was pulled, even though he's on an Iranian kill list. So those strike me as small things. The big thing, which is really what I'd love you to respond to, is that you were very confident that there wasn't going to be much that was fundamentally surprising about Trump's second term, and we could be more or less certain of that because we had already lived through a first term. And whereas my main argument was no, the reason why you can't draw that conclusion is that in the first term, there were lots of normal people with normal political reputations to defend serving as, quote, guardrails in the first administration. And those guardrails are now gone. And therefore, you just have loyalists and grifters and maniacs of one description or another who are not going to protect Trump and the country from Trump's worst impulses. That seems to me to be the crucial difference between the first and second terms. I'm wondering what has surprised you in the last year and a half or so?
So, I mean, we can start with kind of all of those things. So I was surprised by the decision to tariff the entire world, mainly because I thought that that was a pretty horrible idea and pretty horrible decision. And I was extraordinarily outspoken and critical when he did that, as I continue to be. I think that the only mitigating factor there is that our Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, is actually living on the real planet Earth and has been able to mitigate the effects of some of that. And then, of course, I
is he just admitting right there that Trump isn't really living on planet Earth? I mean, he says that in a way where he's like, at least our Treasury Secretary is living on planet Earth. But you know who else is living on planet Earth? Is our Fed chair, who has said that about 2/3 of the current inflation is due to Trump tariffs.
Thought very strongly the Supreme Court would strike down so-called Liberation Day tariffs, which of course the Supreme Court did. So my main argument with regard to President Trump for a while has been that the guardrails would largely hold, that it wasn't as though there wouldn't be mistakes or bad ideas that were put into practice, but that the guardrails would hold and that his worst mistakes would end up being mitigated by the pushback of reality.
This is such a shitty argument, even if I were to grant it. So you're going to elect a lunatic president who you know is a lunatic and just hope that one person steps into place to stop him and call that the guardrail. I mean, what if Scott Bessent, what if the Supreme Court didn't strike the tariffs down? It's all just such an awful argument. How about we just elect people with good ideas in the first place?
Which is, I think, sort of what happened with the tariffs, is that even the sort of most blustery comments about the tariffs that he made, many of those ended up being walked back. Holes ended up being punched through. Again, I'm not in favor of what he did with the tariffs. I think they've had some pretty disastrous effects, particularly with regard to our relationship with Canada.
They can't even defend Trump anymore. They're not even trying to defend Trump.
But I will say that let's put it this way, what he put forward in a poster board that had nothing to do with actual tariff rates and everything to do with actual deficits that, again, I'm not sure why I should care that we have a trade deficit with Ethiopia, but you know, everything that was on that poster board ended up not being what is the reality today. The tariff rates on that poster board are not reflective of today's tariff rates. So put that out there. And again, that's not to say that you were wrong and I was right. I wasn't right. It is to point out that the sort of outcome of everyone gets tariffed at the rates he put out on Liberation Day, that is not what the outcome was. As far as Mike Pompeo, my case was that there wasn't really.
Dude, bro is working overtime to defend. Oh my God, he's going on. He's working overtime to defend Trump's awful policies. Sorry, I've been sitting here letting us be subjected to Ben Shapiro's ranting for a few minutes now without jumping in, but he is working so hard.
Marco Rubio has done a pretty good facsimile of what Mike Pompeo probably would have done as Secretary of State. So I'm not sure that counts as a major miss. As far as the idea that he was staffing up with loyalists who are unlikely to challenge him, I agree with you that he has staffed up with people who are much more loyalists to him than they otherwise would have been in Trump number one. And I think that one of the things that he has found, to his surprise, is that many of those loyalists have not turned out to be particularly competent. And now he is shifting back toward a sort of more professional class of people inside his own administration. And here I would cite the substitution of the Secretary of Homeland Security, really the Chrissy Noem was defenestrated in favor effectively of Tom Homan, who is a significantly
after
more...
After a year in multiple deaths.
He definitely likes to stick his hand in the fire, and when it burns, he tends to pull his hand out. That is, again, not to suggest that there were no risks at all, but that the actual policy that has emerged from the administration, the actual overall policy, is actually, I think, not too wildly far from what I would have expected having charted out term number one. I don't see a wild kind of swing into never, never land in term two, as opposed to what we saw in term one.
What about the fact that when Trump pulls his hand out of the fire, he often pulls out lots of cash with it? So take the tariffs, right? I understand that you draw comfort from the fact that the Supreme Court backstopped some basic sanity with respect to the tariffs, but he nevertheless used this tariff policy and other levers of American state power to wring out an astonishing amount of money from our allies and enemies. I mean, so he slaps a 46% tariff on Vietnam. Vietnam gets that reduced by greenlighting a $1.5 billion resort deal for the Trump family. By most estimates, the Trump family has made somewhere between $1.4 and $4 billion now, grifting with their cryptocurrency schemes and other machinations. None of this is getting walked back, at least.
Yes,
Sam, to prison, but...
I did forget to say, the one thing that has shocked me is the level of familial corruption. I will say that has surprised me.
At least he's very honest about it.
Amount of corruption...
But it shouldn't be surprising.
...would really matter? I mean, what amount is so much that you'd have to say, okay, I disavow this president?
Well, again, I'm not sure, and I said this sort of last time we talked as well, I'm not sure what it would mean to disavow, because politics is it's a sort of choice of lesser of two evils in terms of the policy that I wish to see. So disavow Trump in favor of what? I'm happy to disavow his behavior with regard to World Liberty Financial. I think the first conservative to talk about that on air when it broke, and I've talked about it consistently ever since. It's sort of like saying, you know, what level of corruption would have caused you to disavow Biden when Biden was running against Trump? I mean, the politics is inherent.
No. The scale is nowhere near. Joe Biden was largely clean as a whistle. If I were to grant the worst interpretation of Hunter Biden using his name to get a board seat on Burisma, if I were to grant that, is like a grain of sand of corruption on Donald Trump's entire beach of corruption. Donald Trump has made billions. His family has probably made tens of billions in dealings in cryptocurrency and golf courses. Just because Hunter Biden maybe got a board seat using his family's last name, that is nowhere near.
So
it's a lesser of two evils calculation. But I mean, we came from a world where, had President Obama received a cashmere sweater from some foreign power, it would have hit the news cycle as some kind of scandal. And now we're in a world where we're counting billions, and the billions don't seem to matter. I mean, what would be so scandalous on this front where you'd have to say, all right, this is just incompatible with American democracy and America's role in the world? I mean, so, I mean, again, this touches other things. It touches foreign policy, in my view. I mean, if you ask yourself, had Maduro had the wisdom to have purchased $1 billion worth of Trump's meme coin, do you still think he'd be running Venezuela?
I mean, I can't speak to that since it didn't happen, but I will.
You're the biggest hypothetical giver in debates. You're always talking about hypotheticals. Now he's dodging them. Sam Harris is asking some pretty good pointed questions here. He's going exactly where I would want to go with it.
Say that if he had done that and then the president had suddenly come out in favor of Maduro, I would have thought that that was insipid and insane. So,
right. I mean, I just think that there's such self-dealing and such corruption and such a focus on self here that it's hard to say that that Trump is effectively representing anyone other than himself and his own.
Well, I mean, I think that when it comes to the interest that he's been pursuing in crypto, I think you're selling past the sale with me, Sam. I mean, you're not arguing with somebody who's arguing with you.
No, it's not just crypto. It touches everything. So you and I are going to talk. We'll talk about the war in Iran. I think you and I will probably view it in very similar ways, except for the fact that I think you probably will draw a lot of comfort from Trump being in charge and doing the things you think he should be doing, whereas I think he's, because he, in my view, he believes almost nothing except in his own, just gratifying his own rapacious appetites, that he's only accidentally aligned with the interests of Israel or the interests of the West against jihadism. And I think he's capable of selling out anything you think he cares about in favor of self-interest. I think he, well, I mean, I think he would cut
very well said.
The deal with Gulf states. I mean, the fact that we're selling NVIDIA chips to UAE, even though they do, military exercises with China, and this poses obvious security concerns. That was a World Liberty Financial deal, right? That seems our interests.
Well, so here's sort of my question is you are using his intent to try to discern future pathways for his behavior. And the point that I'm making is that if that were the case, you probably could not have predicted many of the things that he has done on the foreign policy front, including his action in Iran based on.
Oof, man, the Trump administration has Ben Shapiro making some bad arguments. I mean, this is a guy who's capable of putting together good arguments. I don't think we should be so arrogant as to say that he's a complete idiot. Ben Shapiro is a smart guy, but he's putting together bad arguments because he has to give infinite charitability to a failing administration. If I were Ben Shapiro, I'd be like, yeah, dude, you're right, Sam Harris. It's very messed up. I shouldn't have defended it, but Ben Shapiro can't do that because he's audience captured and already losing his audience. So just remember that. That's why we are building our own independent media apparatus where we continue to fight, continue to push forward for a better future, not giving in to any of the forces that capture people, just us. I love you all. I'll see you in the next video and peace out.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.